Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for taking time out of busy, busy schedules to tune in to, this is Lynn, a mystic healer, and this is Spiritual Emergency Training. We're in a spiritual emergency on the planet, so light against the dark, and we really need to get the light workers, these cities of light development where we can bring in the light, shining in the darkness, bringing in the light where the darkness dwells, so that we can go beyond the old ego mind limited fear-based programs of that, so that we can go no more lies and no more greed, no more depopulation, oh, transhumanistic robotic warfare, plutocracy, no more lies, no more greed, no more vaccination farms, chemtrails, fracking, let's see, smart dust, brain chips, Monsanto, toxic deeds, and how much money is going to all that. Okay, and no more lies, no more greed, no more wars and drug wars, profiting the elite. No more, no more, no more lies, no more greed, no more rulers from Wall Street, lazy bums, no more lies, and no more greed, sorry, no more racial animosities, misogyny, pedophilia, or xenophobia, we do not need, no. No more lies and no more greed. The fights can be confined to more sports activities. No more lies and no more greed. No more abuse or drugging our meek. And no more lies, no more greed. No more mendacious mind control media. We do not need, and no more lies, and no more greed. Humanity is now awakening. Oh, new realities. No more lies or hate, and no more greed or hate. Time to unite humanity for harmony. Yeah. Okay. So, welcome, Andy. I'm glad you were able to make the program today and put in your understanding and help with the concept that I really, that Don was talking about, maybe he'll jump in too, to, so it can get more clear. What the universal basic income is really about, and single payer health care, universal health care, so the businesses don't carry the burden, is actually shown really, really understanding the heart and soul level that's being lost on the planet. We are being, our families, our communities have been divided and conquered, separated to control for mass military industrial proliferation of the planet. Okay, MK Ultras. I was born in an army base. I know the inside systems. You move every 2 years in the military industrial complex. You have no family except the orders of the military industrial complex, and you say aye aye sir and you obey now, and that kind of programming really leads to a lot of insanity that is so unspiritual, unloving, unjoyful for everyone that really gets involved in it, because every day is trauma and drama and the death and destruction and hurtful and pain of the innocent victims that are getting worse every day with the bombs. And you know, we are talking quite enough about the robotic warfare that's coming and being proliferated by thought forms, and again, all the military-industrial complex ties into the militarized police. Do you want love police that can go and teach and train communities worldwide where, hey, light workers can actually go, hey, you know, you need some inner guidance programming. You need to get back on track with your matrix, your soul matrix. You really need to evolve your consciousness and use source energy, not computers or old programs or military-industrial complex programs, because the truth is, if you get people, heart and soul community services, volunteers for the basic reorganization of community outreach and community services, loving heart and soul, all love and light, soul directed, then people are going to seek it if you open up those jobs, and they can volunteer and be paid at a heart and soul level. For in Oregon, 22,000 501c3s alone could be offering a basic guaranteed income with single payer. Otherwise, the poor and the media keeps pushing for more and more sign up for more militarized training that has single payer and benefits. So you talk about the problems, and part of the reason that they've allowed so many immigrants in is because you guys probably don't know this, but when you go in for citizenship, half the people can't speak, and they've already signed up for being part of the call of the military-industrial complex, including MKUltra and drug war-related programs. Like I said, I've done some programs with ex-gang members and helped them, and they wanted to become light workers, so to speak, spiritual emergency trainers. But I couldn't offer them a job. But, oh, the military can. So that is really what I'm trying to get people to understand. You want to continue the advent and the construction of more mass military mindsets and programs that, you know, teach really bomb killing, you know, long-distance killing, 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 bombing, killing, you know, maiming. You know, you want to keep those thought forms going, or do you want to have volunteer paid, at least at a basic, so everyone has, you know, no one's worried about their family member, like, oh, they lost their job or this or that. Everyone at least has a basis to regroup and make more harmony in community by at their heart and soul services, you know, and seeking what is heart and soul services. What are those jobs? Why don't they be mass advertised and marketed so we have these new community services that people are just like, what's my soul purpose? What's my life purpose? Why am I here? So anyway, I'll just leave it there. What do you think, you guys?
Well, I've done a lot of thinking in the last 5 minutes. And I came to some conclusions about why I'm here. I come from a line of people who are activists in the sense of the word, but who understand that we live in a place that's full of a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of views. And as much as I might want my particular form of good to occur, I realize we're in a big place. And in order for our species to flourish, we need to be able to digest many views that at first may seem in opposition, but in reality may not be. If we dialogue and we talk to each other and learn what we think our biases are and our prejudices, there may be places where after we talk and we explore the underlying reasons why we feel that way, maybe come to agreement or compromise instead of fighting over some program or some solution. Our problems may be the same deep down or very similar, and we may be able to come to equitable solutions that meet most of our, you can't do them all. We become, for instance, a lot of it is in the packaging. You say you want to get rid of SSDI, for instance, because you believe it leads to drugging and labeling, and you're right. But for every one of you, there's someone who says, I'm terribly disabled, I need some help. Well, maybe there's a second solution that's a hybrid of both that does not have the downside of both. Or you say you want health care. You want single-payer health care. The next person over might say, I don't want everyone to have health care, but their real reason may be because they don't want to pay for it out of their pocket. That's a legitimate concern. But maybe there is a way you could negotiate with that person and say, okay, well, our government's using all this other money for this piece of junk program. What if we get rid of that program and use that same money to pay for the health care? Then that person might say, okay, I can accept it, because most people are not uncompassionate. They're not going to, most people are not going to say, I want everyone to die on the street. They just don't want to be held responsible for others. Maybe they have a different view on their responsibility in interdependence among people, because we're raised differently. We're creatures that are affected by how we're raised, how we're exposed to our families, how we're exposed to our peers. And we tend as creatures to follow those ideas that are most comfortable for us, but aren't always the best for us, and that includes me. And when I hear radicals or extremists proselytizing, my first response is, what are they trying to sell? Because life, to quote a favorite movie of mine, life is pain, and anyone who tells you otherwise is trying to sell you something. So to get real change is to get everyone around a table. Remember King Arthur and the Round Table? He was the first guy to have a round table. In those days, tables were square, and the head dude sat at the head for authority purposes. He introduced the Round Table, which was a form of democracy, and he was saying, I'm among you, my equals, okay? We're all equals. There's no, like you said, Lynn, you don't want people saluting. I don't want people saluting either. In fact, my libertarian friends don't want people saluting either. So the real issue we have right now is that the people who hold the reins of power, at least who claim to, are not working toward consensus or agreement or compromise. They're working for their own ends. And I don't believe that most people I know agree with them working for their own ends. They agree with their right to work for their own ends. But the idea of being elected, by definition, means they're working for us. And if they want to work for their own ends, they shouldn't be in those positions. They should be off somewhere else where they can become what they want to become, God bless them, in whatever corner of the earth they want to be. But as long as they're working for us,
right,
taken on the responsibility of finding consensus and agreement. If we have people representing us, then we can work toward some of the greatest government programs that were successes occurred because they were consensus, or as best a consensus as you could find. I mean, you're never going to please everybody. So my goal in my life, one of my goals, is to take my wonderful activist radical friends, of which I have many, and translate to what the middle, most people are in some form of middle. And my other goal is to talk to those people with whom at first glance I might have substantial disagreement, because I bet a lot of times, with a few exceptions, there's a few nuts out there, but a lot of times they really never stop to think about alternatives to their underlying concerns, or they're so busy having people tell them their concerns are wrong or I disagree, instead of finding out really most of us are the same. The former president of the NPR, a self-proclaimed Democrat, took a year, and he went around and talked to people who weren't like him on paper. And he found out we're mostly all the same, pretty much. Now, you don't want war. I get it. The biggest reason is because you've been touched by it in your life. And people who have not been touched by it are likely to be less militant about that topic. They're likely to focus on those things that personally touched them. When we meet each other, we can touch, we can sense, what is it about this person that touched them? Where do we find commonality?
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, when you look at that, that's another reason why it's so sad to me that the discard of these really beautiful people that are such lost souls because of, you know, the drug use in their parents or their families to cope, or they were labeled as a child, then they hit the street drug phenomenon, then there's big pharma parties, and it goes on and on. I mean,
there are very good reasons why youth are that way. There are very good reasons. They're very definable reasons, and they're very
understandable. Yeah, education, and the limited ego mind factor is what they see on TV or media. Those programs, I wrote about it in my first book, Dreams, Past Lives, Holy Spirit, Your Soul, and the limited ego mind really is just a little computer chip that just takes in what it sees, hears, smells, touch, or tastes, or experiences, and it registers it. And so that's their database to work from, and it is very limited on this planet, and it's been that way for a reason, to divide, conquer, separate, and control this planet for some pretty devious, I mean, obviously devious programming.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Ooh, some of it.
If you came up to a person who was very much concerned about at-risk youth like you were, but for their own personal reasons did not support eliminating military, recruiting, but was very much interested in at-risk youth, you could certainly agree if they provided other solutions to the at-risk program as well, like after-school recreation and jobs and all that. I mean, that makes sense, right? In addition to the fact that you want to remove recruiting, there are also other things that we can do for at-risk youth, and you could find consensus among the population at those other things, too.
Oh, yeah, and if they learn if they learn like soul therapy, soul parenting, they learn about their real life purpose and who they really are and how to tune in, divine guidance. All drug heists are free. That whole
I actually have an alternate phrasing, an alternate path that's
intention.
Less for those people.
Their intention
people
to get
spiritual.
High. Put time and money into going somewhere to get high, to be social, was co-opted by, what was it? What's the alcohol one? Happy hour, okay? That was right there. You teach people to kill all day in the military, and then, oh, hey, it's time to go drink. Let's go get happy. And alcohol's a depressant. I mean, how insane is this? Really, I mean, really, it's just insane. And like I said, all drug highs are free. It's
but
the power
see,
of the thought forms of your God
missing,
self, of your intention to get
symptoms.
High and go there and be there. It was like the thought from a prayer. All thoughts are prayers. So there you
okay.
go. That
the
and
main,
then it gets off center, or you're abused by a predator,
why
and then. Karma, and oh my God, but then you need more drugs to cope with
Lynn,
more problems, and oh my
you're
God.
You're focusing on the symptoms and not the underlying problems of at-risk youth. If the underlying problems were attended to, there'd be less youth available for those things. They would be less interested. If they didn't have the issues that cause at-risk youth to be at risk, and
yeah,
I think
that's
that
exactly.
my
Thank
experience
you.
Is to focus
yes.
more on that.
When
you
say
you want a youth to, when you say you want a youth to look at their sole purpose in life, I could say to you, let's have a youth look at why they are where they're at, which doesn't necessarily. There's other paths to the same end for those who resist the spiritual realm. There are other paths to have them identify who they are and why they're at the place they're at. So I'm
yes,
in agreement
and
with
what they like. You're right.
You,
that's
instance,
the NCC. They're doing
well,
that.
I'm in agreement for
yeah.
you. And for instance, I'm in agreement with you if there were programs mm-hmm. to help
yes.
you understand how they got to where they're at as a first step in understanding that they should even do anything about it, because they don't even know they're susceptible. Okay, there's no, they don't even know. I would
yeah.
recommend a bunch of education okay. courses in schools, a whole host of things. There's a whole bunch of things that can be done to identify why they're at risk in the first place. And I think a lot of people, a vast majority of people in this country, would agree that being at risk is a problem for youth. And for those who balk at that, I would say at-risk youth presents a problem for you in your community, because it increases violence, it increases the cost of incarceration and law enforcement. There are practical reasons why people who might not feel compassion certainly would feel it in their pocketbook. There are practical and pragmatic reasons to arrive at the same goal. So in our quest for change, it's not only important that we appeal spiritually and religiously and morally. There is a segment of our population that disagrees with our spirituality, disagrees with our morals, and to them I can appeal in a basic pocketbook, personal safety level. you're not going to be able to get yourself off from at-risk youth forever. Eventually, they're going to overwhelm you. And most of you can't afford a private army anyway. So I'm just saying,
it's all in the approach. Yeah, or you're enough security, you know, oops, oh, my house is being robbed. Oh, well, I happen to be on my vacation. Oh, well, okay, the cops will get them. They can't because the whole, neighborhood
the other part,
is
the other thing that's going on here is people who are coveting power are busy dividing us, and they're not allowing us to communicate. So what happens is they create an illusion that those people over there are coming for your stuff. They're threatening you and somehow. And the best thing that an agent of change can do is not be a threat. There's a lot of things that are actually some of the things, for instance, there are a lot of people that have been convinced big government is bad. Well, I happen to think that government can be made much more efficient. It's a huge behemoth bureaucracy, but it still does some things that are important. What I don't understand is the people that don't get that corporations can be just as bad or worse. And so the government power holders will tell you, oh, no, it's good, just get as rich as you can. And there are a lot of wonderful business owners out there, but a few of the biggies, they're their own governments in their own way.
That's right. Just on those aspects, let me jump in before I forget. Thank you. In Michael Moore's movie, Where to Invade Next, it really is imperative because he goes through, it has nothing to do with him or actual invasion of military. It's actually the invasion of the mind control that is dominating our culture over here and our school-to-prison system. When he goes through the education programs at various levels from early childhood over in Europe with no common core, it is so awesome. You can see and feel the energy of the children. It's real.
Okay, Lynn, I'm going to ask you a question.
And, go ahead.
What are the three main things you like about this? Forget who the person that did the movie was. Forget it. You saw a movie. What are the three main things that were promoted that you liked in that movie?
I did really like, I think it was out of Germany, the cap and trade on, it builds more of a cooperative, but cap and trade on free trade. It was really beautifully and well presented and understandable. And the understanding of how single-payer healthcare systems can be used to actually bring in, children getting massages while their mom has a prescription to go to a spa for healing. I mean, insisting that the person recovers and heals instead of more trauma, drama, drug-related mishap, instead of all the, labeling and drugging and, actually time out and the kids
okay,
get...
What's the third,
Two more, really important. The restorative justice movement in Norway is imperative. I know a judge that is totally gets it, is doing conflict resolution programs here because of it. It's so awesome what happens in Norway in that film. My God, it's beautiful.
Okay.
It will help in racism and the abuse, the military, police, idea of what happened with water protectors. One more. And, oh, my God, Portugal. The energy of the cops he talks to, these are policemen, and they are so awesome. They're all laid back in, like, T-shirts and just nice slacks and laid back. And they just, oh, yeah, in 2000, we quit arresting for any drug use. We're into, addiction recovery programs and jobs, not jails, and jobs, not drugs. And it's so awesome. Awesome. That's a law. That's a legislation that would change. I mean, stop the drug wars. Afghanistan.
Okay,
right there. Afghanistan. 95% of the world's heroin comes out of there. It's insane. Anyway, go ahead.
Can I address what you just said in a different way?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cap and trade is a way of dealing with controlling our environment in a business-friendly model, right?
Yeah.
Cap and trade is a marketplace that does not impose any restrictions by authoritarian politicians. It's a marketplace where people can trade, save our environment as a profitable business venture, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second thing you mentioned, you mentioned the single-payer healthcare system used to actually bring in preventive health. Here's how I'm going to word it. You believe that taxpayer money should be used to reimburse health care because you believe it will increase preventive health and naturopathic solutions. Now,
well,
most
more
people
than
are,
that,
now,
more than that. Let me jump in real quick, because my daughter's
a
CPA.
Let me finish.
I mean, my daughter's a CPA of all kinds of... No, no, and she just said, Mom, all you got to do is tell him it's one form.
You got to listen to what I'm going to say.
That
okay?
goes through the old systems of... You know, I mean, here we got Medicare, Medicaid, then we've got VA, then we got this, then we got private, then we got that, and then we got that, and then we got that, and that, and that. And it's just insane. So, and really, thank you for that invite. Everyone, please share. If you have a business and you care about small businesses competing with these large corporations, share, fix it. It's a YouTube. It's simple. YouTube, fix it. Capital FIX IT, health at the tipping point by unfinished business. Let me say it three times. I really want this out here because I'm really pissed off at both of our parties that they're not sharing this. They're not sharing this. And it's really important to me, healthcare, because I was a registered nurse in Oregon and in Canada. I worked under single payer, and it's where it's at, period.
Me,
and the doctors want
you.
It. And then all the National Nurses United want it. Listen to us. Listen to the healthcare providers, people that really want to try to help people.
You need to hear this.
Sorry.
You need to hear this. If you want to appeal to a broader group of people, I'm not saying you're wrong. You need to notice a few things. First of all, you need to notice that single payer is not necessarily health care for all. There are a bunch of people who don't want their money used for other people's health care. If you want everyone to be required to participate, you're going to have to explain why a single health system would not lead to government control or government bloat, because people get the terms mixed up. They assume that a single payer will lead to and or means government control of your health care. Now, what they don't understand is now their healthcare is being controlled by a few CEOs anyway, and I'm not sure that's any better. But you need to convince people that a single payer for healthcare would help and not hinder, like you said, competition. A lot of people.
Okay. The other part is the CEOs of where the competition really comes in is when you open it up so that the doctors and nurses aren't bogged down with paper. Okay, they're the caregivers, you'll see it on that, it shows on the video. I can't explain it. I wish I had a movie of when I worked in the Queen Charlotte Islands and the difference of health care and what I was allowed to do and be covered by my doctor friends and locums and other nurses. I mean, we teamed up, we were afraid.
I agree. I see part of the problem.
Hey.
There are people on two sides of this argument. One will argue that it's the very... competition that's causing that bureaucracy. The complex regulations occur in healthcare and banking because there's a struggle between corporate interests, personal interests, and government interests, and the way all the interests thwart each other is by making the situation so complicated that it works poorly for everybody. Now, Last week, Amazon and Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase and Berkshire Hathaway announced potentially $160 billion healthcare initiative because their employees are paying too much for healthcare. So as a business initiative, I mean, they cloaked it as social change, but as a business initiative, they're going to start their own essentially nonprofit healthcare system, paired in part after Kaiser Permanente's HMO. And they're going to provide cheaper healthcare. And Berkshire Hathaway, the guy is considered a god of business, the Oracle of Omaha. He says that long term we need universal coverage. This is a business way of getting there. This is not a government way.
Yeah.
The day he announced that, the stock market dropped because all the businesses realized, all these big middle management, the prescribing managers and the pharma have said, oh shit, big money's coming and they don't want to give us our free gifts anymore. So there are several ways to skin this thing, and some of these organizations are now understanding that it's actually profitable to do healthful things like preventive health. In fact, I know for a fact that in places like Kaiser, there's a lot more acupuncture and massage. They're having trouble keeping up with the naturopathic solutions because just plain they work. People like them and they work. It's a solution.
Yeah. Well,
you
have to
crisis.
Stay on that because the other part is the five top insurance companies that put profit over people. That's, and you
and
can check
part,
more.
The thing is what most
wait, 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 let me finish.
What
healthoverprofit, everyone.org. Healthoverprofit.org.
What's most important,
fabulous group. Margaret Flowers, MD, medical doctor, get on there. You have to understand. And that YouTube shows the bit. It's done by unfinished business. It's done by a business. And it speaks to business. They get it. It's like, are you going to have this high-end profit paper shovers, paper, 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 to paper, to paper, to this nut? Like, you know, even my daughter was saying their business is like, you know, it takes them forever to even get a claim back in. I mean, it's just gotten so insane with the software costs, the new paperwork costs, the new on and on and on. It's totally inefficient.
My background is in computer software. I could do 5 shows on that topic. I want to talk about restorative
yeah,
justice.
Thank you. That's why
restorative justice and conflict resolution is actually happening in a lot of cities. It's not being publicly espoused a lot, but a lot of the big cities, especially, they have special courts now where someone who commits a crime of passion or is a one-time nonviolent offender or has special circumstances, a youth, are treated differently. They're not necessarily treated easier, but the context is taken into account. In some cases, where it's a nonviolent crime, they may only require community service and sending the kid to 50 years in jail where he learns to be a criminal and gets killed. In some cases where someone is just caught delivering drugs for someone else without knowing, there's mitigating circumstances, and there is a lot of restorative justice already. The problem is because so many people have been hurt, they understandably want to react in a vengeful, revenge manner. They want their justice. So restorative justice is a balance between doing what's right and trying to make, as best you can, those who are injured whole. In order to do restorative justice right, you have to understand people who've been victimized or their families and how it hurts. You have to understand that pain. It's that pain that channels the hang 'em now mentality. I mean, I get it. If someone killed one of mine, I'd be pissed as hell. But we need to step back and think about that. But that's happening now. And you have to be careful to do it properly. You have to understand both the punishment model and the explanation model. You have to be thoughtful and take into account the feelings of all sides of the problem. As we begin to do that, we get better, more tailored solutions that make more sense. One of the biggest problems is we've got companies making profit about how many people they jail, and that's just doesn't make any sense to me to do that. Then you talked about policing, right? And this is the same as military police. Most people in their community would prefer community-oriented policing, especially for the lesser nonviolent criminals. They would, you know, shoplifting or jaywalking. They, you know, cops on bikes with shorts. They don't like the authoritarian, but they do. Most people will say there is that select few group of criminals. You know, there was a movie where Sylvester Stallone is frozen and comes back in 30 years later, and the city's all, you know, they're all milk toasty and happy, happy, happy. They're actually being run by a tyrant. But the enforcers have learned, they've forgotten how to enforce the more extreme cases. And I cannot yet, in my mind, I don't want war, and I would like a lower military. I'd like a defense force only for most things. But there are still a few situations in my mind that I cannot find a better solution than military force. I regret to say there's still a few places, and there's still a few places where you need a SWAT team, where you need military police force, but they're much fewer and much rarer. What we have now is we forget about those areas we don't like. We say, let them rot, or let's go lock them up or kill them. I don't believe in that. I believe we should be a lot smarter. But there are still a few special situations that I can't quite get away from.
Yeah, but when you have computer apps, okay, and you have cell phones, and you have language apps, and you have all these women and children that are capable of looking at, you know, new advanced, I'd say, what is it, behavioral cognitive programs.
What about men?
Okay, wait, let me finish. This person's lying.
You
left
that us out.
Being an ass. Now, what do you think this action is? I mean, the we're all similarly giving off emotions. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white, people. It doesn't matter. This is a house. And militaries worldwide need our youth to step up and say, F you, we're doing compassion games. Did you even know, did you get any advertising of compassion games? What if we were telling everyone, hey, we are so programmed, they can watch you from 200 miles up, okay, if they want. Okay, they already know who's who, doing what to what. So let's just get people reprogram, re-transformation, and why aren't the churches being the healing hubs? The churches should be open, okay? We could close 90% of the jails, put them into tiny house, tiny apartment constructions for the people that want to help, you know, the healing process for the housing, for the homes, for the water, for the air, for, I mean, come on. We have, in Oregon alone, 22,000 501c3s. We have small businesses, but they don't have health care, so they can't compete. They can't, we can't even get our wind and solar on ripping and doing here, which is perfect for here because large corporations with the fossil fuel companies are still reigning, okay? Then we've got the military and guns and military, weapon sales, okay? Well, and drug sales, okay? It's all tied. It's like, follow the freaking money. I mean, and then you look at the government subsidies, even for private insurance. Why are private insurance companies and all these private fossil fuel companies and such, you know, the large corporations running the government, our government, why do they have, are allowed to have health care, lie, cheat, and steal, eminent domain of over 631 home properties right now, over four, 3,000 leaking pipes, I mean, fracking with chemical, I mean, and then erase our EPA. I'm just saying, hey, the large corporations have become a tyrannical government that, I mean, what they did at Standing Rock is disgusting. You know, they're trying to protect water. They should have been paid. Pay people to go to church instead of war. I mean, it's all reprogramming of the mind. I mean, if churches, if cops were, everyone was programmed in town, they knew, like, oh, this person's way out of their heart and soul level. They're out there. They're really aggressive. And so you get these, the men in the community saying, hey, we're going to put him in football or he can do kickboxing. We don't really give a crap, but, you know, he's really aggressive. We're going to reprogram him into sports. You know, you can. We can do that now. We have the technology and the understanding. And then you go, oh, this person is just like way friggin' mental. Okay, they need healing, really. And there's medical hypnosis. Healing moderate to severe psychiatric disorders. Are they perpetuating that belief system? Are they teaching and training it? Oh, I wonder why. Oh, no, there's too much money in big pharma. And private insurance. And private insurance is getting our government in debt to do this. I mean, the government subsidies, that's our money. That's for us. That's for our communities. And develop new community programs and services and all of it. And why are, you know, the police, I talked to one of them one day, and I could say, hey, slow down. You know, I mean, I was just like, hey, you really, can't you see you're making this person, he's afraid. I mean, I understood both sides. He was totally afraid, too. You know, get ready to you know, pop his gun out. I'm like, hey, don't you see this person? He is freaking out. You're either going to have him totally react in violence, which probably is trained as a kid, beat the crap out of him or something, or he's just going to melt and freak, you know, and maybe run into a street and cause an accident, you know, freak out. And I'm like, come on, let's just breathe, let's just calm down, and let's just take him down to this healing center, not to jail. It's like, look, you've already taken him to jail how many times? How much does that cost? Doesn't do anything, you know, and taking him to church. Why aren't the churches opening up for healing touch practitioner, laying on of hands, Jesus? You know, there's healing touch practitioner programs. I have a girlfriend that even studied at NASA that does healing touch practitioner programs. Okay? Come on. Healing addictions and mental health. We have medical hypnosis. We have an insurance code for it. Where is the advertising and marketing?
Actually, the medical benefits of tactile touch are so hard to find. They're so hard science proven. They go way back in history to apes and their mother apes nurturing their children. It's really hard science. There's nothing magic about it. But I want to
about
ask
what?
A question.
Say that again.
Touch. Touch is, it's purely, it's, there's hard science, solid hard science to back up healing touch.
Yeah, yeah, there's Dr. Bruce Lipton has energy psychology
now.
No, I'm talking about
very reputable major research over a long period of time. But
well,
let me
ask you
and question,
that's what Jesus
said,
laying on of hands, not laying on of guns and drugs and bullying and
said,
you know, pussies and, you know, just abuse and, you know, where's the tantra? Where's the soulmate information? Where is the new, you know, evolved and conscious evolutionary
churches,
heart and soul? We're losing it, people. That's why I get so frantic. Wake
you
up.
Said that
you know, it's only money.
Pay,
and money, you,
you, said
you know, we
churches
have
churches ought to
shit.
Pay youth, right?
Pardon me?
You said that churches ought to pay youth, correct?
No, I'm saying that, churches should be paying, for, you know, to have people go pretty much to their to the churches for transformation. Isn't that what they're for? I mean, really.
Okay, how
come
do you
on.
Propose, how do you propose to get that to happen?
I don't know. See, that's, we might have to take the schools they're closing or the malls they're closing and change them into Healing Arts Transformation Service centers.
What I'm getting at is this.
Armies, you know, Lightworkers Armies bases.
What I'm getting at is something important.
Of healing armies and Lightworkers Army bases, so to speak. Yeah, I don't know.
This country was founded on one of the reasons this country was founded was to escape religious persecution. It would be radically dangerous to enact laws that seemed to enforce religious practices.
One nation under God.
If you want to convince, if you want to convince churches of the merits of this, that's great. But I would not sign on to legislation that would do that. It's important to keep the idea of church and government separate, in my opinion. It's a dangerous
pledge of allegiance to the flag. I think people are ready for the God within direct source contact. That's where I'm at. You know, pledge allegiance. Here it is, everybody. Wake it up. Pledge allegiance. I grew up with this, and this is real to me. Okay, pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Got it? Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The God within each person.
You know
that's
what? I don't pledge allegiance to anybody.
You didn't
people
do that at
people
school?
People will earn my respect, or I will cede authority to them if I think they're worth it. I don't pledge allegiance to anybody.
Yeah, but when you grew up at school, you had to, didn't you?
I had to say the words. I said
there you
the
go.
Word. I
yeah.
didn't like the word. I didn't like it. I thought it was a costuming, a formality, a obeisance that I don't approve of.
Okay, well, how about when you really understand the God within is your soul, your vibration of understanding that goes beyond all authority, all other outside influences for direct source contact, it gets it into a new type of reality that we're
whether
building.
Whether you believe in the God of the God within
reality
or the great
on
pumpkin.
The planet, God.
Whether you believe in an anthropomorphic God or your inner light, or
yeah.
the great pumpkin, shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but how about the U.S. Declaration of Human Rights?
I respect that because in its writing and concept, it has earned my respect. And I cede some of my authority to that, as I do to the U.S. Constitution, but I reserve the right to review at any time if it's being abused, because these fine documents can be used to abuse.
Yeah, but see, that's depending. Where the heart and soul community services is so critical instead of warring services. I mean, really, the thought forms of war is, computers are, I hate to say it, but, you know, computers and the robots are already on the move. And we need, as people, to get heart and soul integrated quickly, get back to heart and soul. Because
I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I think that computer technology and robot technology are tools. They can be used for good and bad. There are laser robots that can heal wounds now without invasion of the body. There are laser robots that can do microfine surgery to save your vision or to heal your heart. Inherently, the idea of a robot isn't in and of itself bad. These are tools that have greatly accelerated our personal ability to be either good or bad. It makes things a lot faster.
What you just said those robots are doing, our healing touch practitioners are
doing.
There's
a fellow who
They have their God power, their Jesus power, their God power to heal one another with hands-on healing. Healing touch practitioners. We're here. That's what I'm saying. We haven't been taught and trained. We're going in this money out to this unloving,
If a bunch of people can successfully heal through touch, it'll catch on. Trust me. You don't need advertising.
That's not true, because even the addiction recovery, it's all mind control. That's what I'm trying to say. The planet is in this ego mind systematic brain control, divide, conquer, separate, and bully. This mind, me.
I do agree with you that it is important to encourage all of my friends and people I meet to stop and think. They don't have to agree with me, but they do have to stop and think about it. If I meet someone and they make a decision and I think it's rash, I want to make sure they thought about it. If in the final analysis they decide something different than me, that's fine, but I want them to stop and think about it. I want them to stop and assess and not just snap reflex to what someone taught them. I don't believe in that. I believe in challenging what you've been trained and taught all the time.
Oh, that's why I just love having you on, because you bring up those issues on a, you know, what do you call it? It's like Rocky Mountain. Everybody, Rocky Mountain Mike, a little plug here.
I don't believe we should be lemming big puppy dogs.
We're bridging bipartisan truth out through music.
One of the things I like about some of the women in the current women's movement is they have learned how to politely and properly affirm their rights without being antagonizing or demeaning. They've learned to be their partners to men. They've learned how to... The movement has seemed to mature now. There are a lot more women who are... They're not whining. They're not lying down either. They're fulfilling their rightful place as our partners. I like that. I don't believe... One of the problems in the past, sometimes women have exacerbated their own problems by either being unwilling to speak up or taking the victim mentality, just like members of the Black and Latino community have been trained to be victims at times. All that being a victim does is let the perpetrators do more. It encourages them. And so my goal in life is to help everybody learn how to speak out the right way.
Think about what would happen if in every town, you know, their blimps and Main Street media was taken over, you know, so to speak, and they had all these different radio programs and local, you know, newspapers, what have you, and they're all saying, hey, guess what, we're going to end poverty. I guess China's on that move, which is really cool. I mean, I'm just so excited. But anyway, to end poverty, because poverty causes stress, stress causes disease, and the coping mechanisms associated with it are, you know, pretty much drinking, drugging, guns, violence, bullying, abuse. You know, abuse and
in order to curtail, money needs
to be shifted too. If we're going to
curtail poverty, you're never going to totally end it. In order to curtail it, you need to convince those in control that it's in their interest to control it too.
Exactly. That's why. How do you get that? The words of, you know, like
I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. I know the world. And the other thing I want to say to the world. My primary philosophy when I talk with you is, I admit I might be wrong, and if you think I'm wrong, I want you to tell me why. I'm on a search for truth, and I might be wrong, and I'm open to course changes.
Yeah. Well, my thing that I know is a deep, deep, deep truth. Is the answers are within each person if they're angry or upset, and if they are willing to be reprogrammed instead of MKL programmed and all this, you know, fighting and fussing and war and war and war and more money for even nuclear. How insane. We already have 100,000 tons 37,000 nuclear warheads, 37,000 in our U.S. alone already.
Can I rephrase what you just said?
Wait. And 100,000 tons of nuclear waste we don't know what to do with. How stupid are we? I mean,
here's
they're just building, you know, garbage filth. Where's the pollution and recycling jobs? Where's the edible landscaping crews? There's so much work to be done, and no one's focused on it.
In order to be the best person
you
can be.
They aren't focusing enough on all these massive crews and teams and, you know, new green teams in every community. I mean, my God, there's so much work to be done.
Give me 2 minutes, Lynn.
Go ahead.
In order to be the best person that you want to be, and I think everyone should want to be the best person they can, it's important for you to sit and think about why you are the way you are, whether it was your family, or your schools, or dramatic events in your life, or where you're at now, maybe your physical environment, your emotions. It's important to know who you are. Don't let anybody else tell you who you are. Figure it out for yourself. Once you know who you are, you can then look around. Maybe you don't want to solve the world's problems. Maybe you do. But it's important to look around and determine who you are. There are people that can help if you want. You can do it yourself. There's a million ways to do it. Lynn's way is to discover soul purpose. If you're not spiritual, maybe you're scientific, maybe you're a farm person, whatever works for you, sit back, think about how you got to be where you are, what patterns you've been habituated to, and are they the right ones? And you determine who you want to be. And once you figure out who you are, then you're going to figure out how to deal with all this other crap that's going on around you. That's my way of rephrasing what you're saying.
Exactly.
And
life
every other person, and there'll be people with other ways. There'll be 15 different ways to say the same thing. That's what makes it wonderful.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and that's what needs to be the new focus is, you know, in reality, we are here to help and heal and love one another and Mother Earth, okay? We're not here to perpetuate drugging and jailing and killing and massive garbage, you know, for our oceans and water and land and spray in the air. And, I mean, my God, you know, whoa, what have we done?
In order for me to be on my search for truth, I have to keep such an open mind that the possibility exists that we are here to destroy ourselves. Now, I prefer it wasn't the truth, but I have to keep a completely open mind about this. There may be people who feel we're done. It's time to go, time to destroy ourselves. Who cares? I don't agree.
Well, some of those have the underground bases, and they need to be arrested, asset forfeiture at the highest level, and they need to go to a different planet. You know, some of them just need to go bugger off because, you know, or they're the ones that really need to be in the prison.
Well, you live in a world with some people who don't have any moral compass.
That's where the ones that...
I can name some
names. The ones that don't
want to
change and that are... You know, that's what the prisons were really meant for, you know, not a drug abuse, you know.
I have a lot easier time dealing with people whose moral code is different than mine than those who have none. Those who have none are the most difficult for me to deal with. If they have a moral code that doesn't agree with mine, I can get it. We can come to agreement. But when they have, there are some people who have no moral code at all. Those are the most difficult for me.
Or it's even worse. It's dark. It's intentionally evil. They thrive on torture and hurt and pain. I mean, and blood and guts, you know, they do. They think war is fun.
That's the group that I feel we still need a military to protect against.
Well, and we're supposed to be, I mean, we already have 1,000 military bases that can be all of it can be, if we, you know, unite our races and religions and put the thought forms to develop these new communities, they'll start a ground root cities, interconnected cities of enlightenment, peace, green. They'll go, you know, the Chinese are already here. I mean, we're already multicultural, but we really need to get it grounded in that, you know, the red, yellow, black, and whites all unite, and Russia, China, and U.S. take control, get the military stand down, and put those thought forms into saving the planet and going interstellar. That's what I keep hearing. It's time for interstellar travel and, you know, new civilizations and exploration. This is insane what we're doing to this planet. It's really ugly. A lot of it, you know, and it's all just mind control and money, and we need new projects, new programs, and you know, that's what we came to talk about today, new thought forms, new belief systems, and, you know, getting people united in conscious evolution to build the golden age of Gaia, you know, focus on it. That's what we want to focus on, the solutions individually, collectively, at a heart level, you know, just re-education, new job creation with mass media control. And I'll end with that. What would you like to end with today, Andy?
I'd settle for the tin age of chill out. Albert Einstein said, we've changed everything save our modes of thinking, and my job in life is to help us change our modes of thinking, or to evolve our modes of thinking. Everything else.
Yeah, I want joyful children of God everywhere, where people are dancing, cooking, sharing, you know, helping, healing. I mean, happy.
I see a free hot plate in every house.
People everywhere, like excited about who they are and why they're here. And they're pairing up with their soul groups and soul teams, and things are ripping fun. I mean, just magical.
Universal hot plates, huh?
Yeah. You know, we should have, aren't we supposed to have like solar greenhouses on every block and, you know, block parties every day? You know, it's just part of growing the joy instead of, you know, growing drug use. I mean, come on. You know, we've got natural herbs everywhere and good gardening, good partying, good music, singing. I mean, come on. The robots can do some of the other stuff. We just got to get reorganized. Anyway, we're at the end of time. And blessing, and thank you so much for taking time out with me and sharing and doing the word links for bringing in the new paradigm of reality to co-create home, a real home for everyone, which is heaven on Mother Earth, you know, where joyful children are perpetuating, you know, situations and programs and lifestyles and things and intergalactic travel. So it's time for more love, more love, more light, more peace, more joy and abundance and sharing and caring processes and programs and belief systems. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And let's just move into more joy. God, man. Anyway, thank you, and thank you, Andy, for sharing, and everyone to take time out today. And we'll end with Planet of the Light by Sarah Adams today. Thank you so much, everyone. Much love, light, peace, and joy. Back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Thank you. Go to angelencounters.net if you want more information. angelencounters.net. Thank you. Bye.